All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. The book of Genesis, chapter 18. Pam Delph has her sister here today. Good to see you. God bless you. And she's a truck driver, and she must know Josh because her truck broke down. And so she's staying with her sister until things can get resolved there. So God bless you. It's good to have you with us today as well. All right, everybody there? Genesis 18. All right, I want you to notice, please, in verse 14, there is a question. There is a question, and that question is this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, that was not the first or the last time that question was asked. And the answer is quite obvious. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. No, nothing is too hard for the Lord. You may remember that in the book of Luke, when the angel Gabriel came to announce to Mary that she was going to have a son, child, and she said, well, how is that possible? She said, I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. How in the world is that possible? And the angel said that with God, nothing is impossible. And so that's a great promise, is it not? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, the answer to that is no. No, it's not. Now, keep your Bible open right here because I want to use a couple of other verses here in the book of Genesis, and then we'll proceed on. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your blessing. We thank you for your wonderful word, and I pray now you'll bless your word as we sit and listen to what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak. I pray you'll bless and help folks as they listen, and may all of us get what we came to church to get this morning. And may the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to work in our midst, and we'll rejoice and give you the praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think I told you all this probably a couple times, but my mind goes back to it. When I was a child, we lived in a subdivision. The ultimate goal was to put 500 homes in that subdivision. I don't know if they ever made that or not. I kind of doubt it, but there was only so much room, and I never understood how they would get 500 homes in that subdivision. But nonetheless, that's where I grew up from the third grade until I was in about the ninth grade. And there were a lot of kids in that community, just a lot of kids. We all would get together in the evenings and play softball, or we play basketball, or whatever sport was popular at that time. And we always had just a real tight-knit community. It was we would have our own celebrations and different things, and everybody would come together, and it was just a great deal of enjoyment growing up in that kind of an atmosphere. Well, when I was about, I don't know, maybe in third, fourth, fifth grade, Every kid in that neighborhood thought my dad hung the stars. They thought my dad put the moon in its spot. I mean, I thought my dad was Superman and Hercules and Atlas and the Incredible Hulk all rolled into one person, all right? There was nothing my dad couldn't do. There was nothing in my mind that was too difficult for him to do. He could fix anything. And if someone's bicycle broke, for example, I would say, well, let's just take it to my dad. My dad will fix it. And so we would. And you know what? My dad fixed it. Every time. There was not a problem. He had a great big station wagon that Appalachian Power provided for him. And in the back of it, there were all these tools and all this stuff. And so if something was broken, we'd just take it to my dad, and my dad would fix it. And so as far as I was concerned, there was nothing that was too hard for my dad to take care of. He could fix it all. All right. Now, of course, as I grew up, I realized that Dad was just a human being like everybody else. But nonetheless, when I was a child, I thought that my dad could do anything. Now, I was recently in study for a Wednesday night Bible study. I was recently reading here in this 18th chapter, and I saw where God asked Abraham this question: is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, here's an interesting thing. Go back, please, to the 12th chapter for just a minute, just a couple of pages back, if you will. All right, and this is where we're introduced to Abraham, who was the father of the Jews. He was the first Jew, okay? And if you will, look please at verse 6. It says, or verse 7, I'm sorry. Verse 7 says, and the Lord, what's the next word? Appeared. The Lord appeared to Abraham three times. Three being the number of completion, all right? So, three times, and here's the first one in verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. All right, now, I want you to notice that very, very carefully. The Bible says that God appeared and spoke to Abraham. All right, now look at verse 6 for just a moment here in this 12th chapter. It says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now look at the next verse. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. Now I'm sure Abraham stopped and thought, well, now wait a minute. The Canaanite is in the land. This is their land. And that's when it was revealed to Abraham that God is going to give that land not to the Canaanite. In spite of the Canaanites being there, God was going to give the land to Abraham and to his seed. So again, let me ask the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And folks, that is exactly what God did. And if you go over to the Middle East today, you will drive around Jerusalem there, and there's this little hill, and on that little hill sits this building, and they call it the Knesset. That's where the government of Israel sits. Now, who owns the land today? Israel. And so there's the promise. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Oh, but the Canaanites are in the land. No problem. No problem. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No problem. All right, now, God basically just says, I don't care if the Canaanites are in the land. I don't care how many of them are there. I don't care how strong they are. I don't care how long they've been there. I am giving you this land. And he did. And so God appeared to Abraham in this passage and revealed to Abraham his power. His power. And yeah, I know the Canaanites are here, but I'm giving it to you. But they're Canaanites. They're strong. They're all these various tribes that make up the Canaanites. Yeah, yeah, they're strong. They're vicious. They're mean. They're good fighters. But I'm God. And I'm telling you, Abram, I'm giving you this land. That's pretty good, isn't it? All right, now, we need that revelation from the Lord, don't we? We need to know that the Lord is strong. We need to know today that our God is a God of power. We don't bend and bow and cower to the world. No, we trust the power of God. And God will provide. So, yeah, we're living in an age of chaos and confusion and compromise, but none of that affects God, not a bit of it. You say, but Pastor, look how bad the world is. Doesn't affect God at all. Please understand that. You say, but Pastor, no, don't, but goats, but sheep follow. Amen. Let's just follow the Lord. All right? Now look at chapter 17 for just a moment. All right, chapter 17, and look at verse 1. 17 and verse 1. Now notice this. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, so he's 99 years of age, he's 1 year shy of a century. The Lord, what's the next word? All right, here's number two. Here's appearance number two. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, now watch this, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, it doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It just means mature, trusting, an adult. Be grown up. All right? Act like you got some sense. Okay? I am the Almighty God. Now, what a statement that is. That is the name I'm sure you've heard of the name that God uses by, that is the name El Shaddai, all right? El Shaddai. Now, we all know what El means. That's God in Hebrew, all right? El is God. Remember, Israel's airlines is El, Al, E-L, God's airline, Al. Okay, never been a terrorist attack on an El Al flight. So, of course, it's one of the most difficult airlines security-wise that you'll ever deal with. But that's why there's never been a terrorist attack on an El Al plane. But that's El means God. All right. Now you keep breaking down the word. Do you see the word Shad? All right. You see the word Shaddai. All right. I am the Almighty. The Almighty. Now this is interesting. The word Shad is the Hebrew word for breast. Breast. Then you see at the end of Shaddai, D-A-I. That makes it in Hebrew plural. So what God is telling Abram here is he is the multi-breasted one. In other words, he is able to nurse everyone. He can provide for everyone. He can succor everyone. That's God. He's the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one, who is able to feed and nurture and provide and take care of all his children. Nobody is beyond his ability to provide. God is sufficient to provide for all of his people. And boy, we need to understand that if we have God, we have all we need. All right? We have all we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Does that make sense to you? That's our God, folks. That's our God. All right? Now we come to chapter 18. And in chapter 18 and in verse 14, the question is asked. Well, look at 18:1. It says, and the Lord, what's the next word? Appeared. So here's your third appearance. And so again, the promise was made that that Abraham's wife, Sarah, look at verse 10, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now, how old was Abraham? 99. His wife is 90. Hello? And God appears to Abraham and says, Sarah is going to have a son. Okay. I mean, think about that, folks. 90 years old and she's going to have a baby. Woo! You say, well, why didn't God give Sarah a child way back when they were in their 30s? Well, I think the reason that he waited until she was 90 was so that everybody would know that it was not just an odd thing, it was a God thing. Does that make sense to you? I mean, how else is a 90-year-old woman going to have a baby? It has to be of God. So anybody and everybody who knew Abraham and Sarah would say, well, you know, this has to be a miracle. This has to be miraculous, what has just happened here. And you know why they thought it had to be miraculous? Because it was miraculous. Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord for that. And so when you get over to verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the simple answer to that is no, no. So in chapter 18, the Lord appears to Abraham, this time to assure, to encourage, and to comfort Abraham. And it is in this set of circumstances that the question is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, folks, let's think about that question for a little bit this morning. You know, we sometimes have to deal with things in our lives that are just they're just difficult to handle. They're just difficult to deal with. But God asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, just think for a minute about a couple of statements that things that I want to point out to you that are connected to this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, let me say, first of all, that there is no promise in the Scripture that is too hard for the Lord to fulfill. Somebody has said that there are over 30,000 promises in the Bible. Now, I haven't sat down to calculate that or to read and then mark it off, but somebody took the time to do it. And they said that there are 30,000 promises in the Bible. Now, out of 30,000, don't you think that you could find, you know, just one for you? Huh? What do you think? Don't you think you could maybe just find at least one that you could claim that you could hang on to and use in your Christian life? Well, I really think you can. You see, like I said a moment ago with Mary, she was told that she was going to have a child, and she just like Sarah said, wow, I mean, how's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? I've never been with a man. Well, Gabriel just looked at her and said, well, Mary, listen, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, God can do whatever he promises that he will do. God said, whosoever will may come. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? You know what that means? That means that if you are an unsaved person, you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior. All right? In other words, if you should go out into eternity, you are not sure you'd go to heaven. All right? So you know, the question then would be asked, whosoever will may come? Yes. Yes. You mean I can come? Yes, you can. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. And you know, really, God doesn't either. You come unto him and he will receive you. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, a long time. I have been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, folks, there's never been one time, not one person in all the years and all the sermons that I've preached, not one person has God rejected. I mean, folks have walked down that aisle over there and that aisle here and this aisle here and that one and that one and that one. They've come from all over the balcony and they've walked down here. Some have knelt at the altar. Some have sat in these seats. And not one time ever has anyone ever said, well, preacher, thanks for trying, but God said no. It's just not going to happen. You know why? Because we have a promise. Amen. Whosoever will may come. That means you. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't care what you've done. There's another verse. Here's a great promise. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. How about that? You say, well, I wonder what the word all means. Come on, you're smarter than that. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. I mean, it's not that difficult, I don't think. Here's another one. God said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know what that means, folks? That means that with God, nothing is impossible, that you can bring your needs and your problems and your heartaches and your discouragements and your trouble to the Lord, and the Lord God Almighty is bound by His word to bless and help you. He's bound by His word, folks. Paul said to Titus that God cannot lie. So if God makes a promise, He has to back it up, doesn't He? And yet, James said, hey, church, listen, you have not because you ask not. Dr. John Rice always said, all of our failures are prayer failures. And that's true, isn't it? Folks, understand this. God sometimes says things in the Bible that are not directly to me, but God never uttered one word in the Bible that He didn't say for me. All right? I know that was a little tongue-tangler. You know, the little kids sing up on the hill, every promise in the book is mine. Every word, every thought, every line. All of the Bible is for us. Regardless of what you're facing, go to the Bible and claim a promise. Are you discouraged? Go to the Bible and claim the thousands of promises that God gives to the discouraged. God knew that we would face times of great discouragement. He knew that. And that's why He put all these promises in there. Are you lonely? You say, well, my spouse has gone on to heaven and now I'm all alone and I'm miserable. Well, why don't you go to the Lord and get in the book and find some promises. Here's one for you. Jesus said, I know you're lonely, but understand this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? So I'm so lonely. Talk to your friend. Talk to your friend. Oh, he's up for a conversation. Yes, sir. Are you fearful? Are you anxious? Are you brokenhearted? Are you weary? Man, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, He can help you. He can help you. You go to the Word of God, and God will give you promise after promise. And let me remind you, folks, that God says there is nothing too hard for Him. Out of 30,000 promises in the Bible, not a one of those promises is too hard for the Lord to fulfill. He can fulfill them all. Second thing, real quick. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. No prayer too difficult, too hard for God to answer. We want to fret and worry, though, don't we? Huh? Yeah, we want to sit on the couch and feel sorry for ourselves and have a little pity party and eat potato chips. Don't we? I mean, there's just something about that. You know, the Bible encourages us to pray. But the devil sits there and whispers in our ears, Weiss has Lay's potato chips on sale. You know all about that, don't you? You're the potato chip king, aren't you? Ruffles? Ruffles. Yeah, Larry Stainer bought UTZ chips. What? UTZ. You mean nuts? I tell you, the Lord's laughing right now. Larry, come here. They're talking about you. No, he was a mess, wasn't he? I mean, you got a problem? Take it to the Lord. Let me give you another one here. No problem is too difficult for the Lord to solve. That's comforting. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. Well, I know God. I know God can handle it. Don't sit here and sell yourself short. You got a God that knows the problems that you're facing. He just wants you to come to Him so He can tell you how to get to victory. He knows how to do it. Just about everyone in the Bible had some kind of a problem, didn't they? It's amazing. I mean, you start here with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, all the rest of them. They all had problems. Every one of them faced conflict in their lives. Folks, that is what life is. You see, when you get saved, let's say right here is the day you get saved, mark it down. The devil is not going to let you get from here into the presence of the Lord without a fight. He's going to stand in front of you and he's going to fight you. He's going to kick you. He's going to gnarl at you. He's going to bite you. He's going to scratch you. Anything he can do, he's going to do it. He wants you to get over here. He knows he can't stop you from getting there. But he wants you so weary and so haggard and so torn up when you finally get there, he can smile at the Lord and say, see what I did? But the Lord Jesus, he can handle anything. Anything. But you see, we've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. And then lastly, there is no place where God cannot send personal revival. Amen. I know this is an evil day. I understand that. I don't think there's any question that we're in the last days of the last days. I was looking for a certain question on Google yesterday, and while I was looking for the answer, there was an article there, and it was some preacher who is a well-known neo-evangelical preacher today. But he's well known and does a lot of stuff on prophecy and all that. And so he was being interviewed, And this fellow said, how long you think we have until the rapture happens? And he said, well, my personal opinion is we got probably a month or two. A month or two. Now, if you'd ask me that question, I'd say a day or so. Maybe. You know, folks, we're here. I mean, we are here. Don't you think we ought to get some revival going in our own hearts? Don't you think we ought to get a little fired up about things? Jesus is coming again. It could be this afternoon. How many of you want it to be this afternoon? Boy, I do. I do. Won't have to watch Orioles lose today. Love that bullpen. You see, man, we got to get stirred up, folks. We need to get stirred up. Jesus is coming again. John said, hey, don't be ashamed at his coming. You know, I've told y'all this story, but I was babysitting when the girls were about that big. Oh, they were so tiny. We had twins, for those of you who do not know, twin girls. We had a two-year-old and twins. No training course or nothing, just boom, there they were. And so Karen said, watch your kids. I'm going, I forget where she was going. So I had the girls on a blanket in the floor, and I was watching a baseball game, of course. And so I'm sitting there, you know, just watching a game, and all of a sudden I look around, and Joshua was nowhere to be seen. And I thought, that's not good. And so I stood up and very quietly walked down the hallway, and when I got right around where the kitchen is, I saw the door of the refrigerator shut real fast, and then this happened. I said, what are you doing? Nothing. I said, well, you're doing something. What are you doing? Nothing. I said, what? By the way, he had jelly all over it, dripping off his chin, dripping. I said, what you got behind your back? Nothing. I said, well, let me see that arm. He went. And all of a sudden, boy, the head went down. He knew he was caught. Head went down. He cowered. Just, countenance fell. Everything. Everything just dropped. And that's the meaning of that word, ashamed, in 1 John. Don't be ashamed of his coming. In other words, what we ought to do is when we hear that trumpet sound, we're excited. We don't go, uh-oh. And I'm glad the Lord's not going to say, what you got behind your back? What's that? Nothing. Yeah, that's not going to work on him either. I think we need revival, folks. I believe God wants to give us an amazing moving of his spirit. You say, well, Pastor, how does a church see a real, genuine revival? Well, last I checked, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the Bible. You know? If my people, notice the if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. Oh, that's what we need. And it still would work if we would simply humble ourselves and pray. You see, revival is needed to get us closer to the Lord. In these last days, man, I want to be ready for the Lord's return. Years ago, when I pastored down in the Charleston, West Virginia area, Glenn Matthews said he came over to preach for me in the church, and he said, you know, I recognized several people this morning. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, I recognize some people that used to go to Bethany Baptist. And then he said, I recognize some people used to go out to Maranatha Baptist. And I recognize some people that used to go to Spring Hill Baptist. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, you know what I think? I said, no, what do you think? He said, I think that there's only 5,000 Christians in the entire Kanawha Valley, and they all just go to whichever church has the new pastor. I said, you think so? He said, yep. Yep. He said, that's what I think. And we used to make jokes about that all the time. We used to just laugh about it all the time. But you know, it's true, isn't it? You know, just wherever the getting's good, that's where we go. That's where we go. I think our churches today have been lulled to sleep by the devil. And I just wonder what would happen if we as a church got on our faces before God and just asked the Lord to send revival to our hearts. I wonder what God would do. Don't you think that the Lord would hear and answer our prayers? Don't you think the Lord would bless? Oh, I do. I do. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Bless what's been said today. Give us encouragement today. Father, help us to realize that you are the God that can do anything. You're the God of all power. And Father, you're the God, the El Shaddai, the God that can provide, the God that gives, the God that nurses, that cares. And Father, help us to trust you. There's not a problem that we have but what you cannot fix. So, Father, help us to trust you today. And then, Father, send that revival to our hearts. I just pray your Holy Spirit will convict us this morning and draw us to yourself. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please.